January 9th. Today was my first meeting with the Sew Sisters Bee at the Busy Bean Cafe. In diary, I feel energized for the first time this year. For some reason, I felt sort of out of sorts last week. Not in a bad mood, not cranky, just unfocused. Where was my New Year's get up and go? Usually, January 1st finds me deep cleaning the house, or at least my sewing room. I open up my new desk calendar, a paper, week-at-a-glance, old-school calendar, which my children mock me for, and record birthdays and anniversaries and other important dates. I go through drawers and closets. I begin my annual perusal of seed catalogs. Should we grow garlic this year? I ask myself. Is this the year I finally put in an herb garden? But that didn't happen last week. Maybe it's because last year had so many moving parts, and I never felt like I got a handle on it. I never finished the Block of the Month quilt, even though I was determined that I would. But in between new grandbabies and thimble pleasures and various crises, well, I barely finished any quilts at all. This year is going to be different. I mean it. Now, the Busy Bean has never been on my map of places to grab a cup of coffee and a Danish, or a donut, or an apple fritter, or a piece of lemon meringue pie. Maybe it's because I don't go out for coffee, unless it's with Sheila. And we mostly go to Linway's, where we have the menu memorized and know what pastries are in season at any given time. Maybe because it's one of those coffee shops for people who like to take photos of their cappuccinos and post them on Instagram, which is to say people under 30 with way too much time on their hands. Also, parking is a nightmare. This morning, I went straight to the parking garage 3 blocks away. It costs more than street parking, but you never have to parallel park or back into a space, and that makes it worth the money. I will say that as soon as I walked in, I nearly swooned from the scent of freshly ground coffee beans, one of the best smells ever. Moreover, the variety of pies on display was truly exceptional. What if the Sew Sisters aren't pie eaters? I wondered as I made my way back to the meeting room. What if they only drink black coffee at their meetings and never touch sugar? What if they were, God forbid, keto fanatics and carbs never touch their lips? I shouldn't have worried. When I walked into the room, the first thing I saw was 2 platters of Christmas cookies smack dab in the middle of the table. It's our annual tradition, Lynn explained as I was setting down my things. We bring our leftover Christmas cookies for the first meeting of the year. Every last cookie is eaten by 11 a.m. at the latest, Jean Tandy, who I know from the Peacemakers, informed me. That way we have room on the table for pie. Clearly, I fit right in. There are 8 members of the Sew Sisters, 5 from the Peacemakers and 3 from the Evening Stars. I knew one of the Evening Stars quilters. Bonnie Winesap and I were in the same 6th grade class and were involved in a disastrous gypsy moth project together. I always wondered if that's why she transferred to Milton Falls Academy the following year. We run into each other from time to time and reminisce about our terrible 6th grade PE teacher, Miss Worcester. I can't believe it's legal for someone named Worcester to teach 6th grade anything, much less PE. It's tempting to say we had a field day with that name, but maybe that's too on the nose. The other two Evening Star quilters introduced themselves, Leslie and Karen. Lynn says you're best friends with Sheila over at Thimble Pleasures, Karen said first thing. Could you find out if she gives discounts to local guild members? I took my seat next to Lynn. As far as I know, she only gives discounts to vets and seniors. Karen shrugged. That works too. Karen's a vet and a senior, Leslie informed me. She was a nurse in the first Gulf War. Let me tell you the B rules, Lynn said as I started unpacking my sewing bag. First, what happens in the B stays in the B. In the same spirit, this is a no-judgment zone. Second, if you have gossip to share and that gossip is guild gossip, you have to include pertinent background details for the B sisters who are in the other guild. But don't go overboard, Betsy put in. We're all smart cookies and get the gist of things fast. We have no problem with nuance, Lynn agreed. It's the overabundance of detail that gets stuck in our collective craw. Our motto has always been, get on with the story. Another peacemaker, Donna Boynton, shook her head and smiled. You guys make it sound like all we do is sit around and trash people. In fact, that's only a small part of our agenda. And we hardly ever trash actual people, Karen put in. Just their quilts. Donna let out an exasperated sigh. We do not trash quilts. Really, Marnie, we're making ourselves sound worse than we are. Mostly we talk about our own quilts and our children and our grandchildren. We sometimes trash our children, Betsy said. But never our grandchildren, Lynn added. Our grandchildren are the most beautiful, brilliant people on the planet, Bonnie said. I am assuming yours are as well, Marnie. I smiled. That describes them to a T. Then you'll fit in with the Sew Sisters just fine, Karen said. Now, I don't know if Lynn has mentioned this to you, but we've decided to do a Block of the Month sew-along this year. Are you up for it? I thought guiltily of last year's unfinished BOM project. Well, I thought, this will be a chance to redeem myself. This year I will finish. Scout's honor. And I mean it. It doesn't hurt that the Sew Sisters' first block is an Ohio Star, a block I've pieced a million times. The challenge put forth to the B members is that you have to choose different fabrics for each block we make, fabrics that will work with all the other fabrics you choose over the course of the year. In other words, be careful what you choose for your straightforward Ohio Star. The rest of your year depends upon it. As soon as I got home, I started pulling fabrics for the block. I thought I'd go ahead and get an entire year's worth, but somehow that seemed like cheating. In fact, pulling from my well-coordinated stash also felt like cheating. No, I decided, if I really wanted a challenge, I should pull fabrics from Daryl's stash. Have at it, Daryl told me when I went to his man cave slash sewing room to see what he had on hand. Mitila esutila. Diary, I'd like to report that my husband has a very impressive fabric stash for a man who's only been quilting for a year. He's especially fond of Ruby Star Society prints, Motobella solids, and Tula pink anything. I let the spirit move me, color-wise, taking a bit of this, a bit of that. Clearly, judging by my choices, I was in the mood for orange and blue. A classic combo that can read modern in a pinch, Daryl remarked as though commenting on a fine wine. And as base colors for a year of blocks, you can't go wrong. Does your guild have a challenge this year? I asked as I stacked the purloined fabrics into a neat pile. There's the group quilt challenge, The theme is modern architecture, and we can contribute up to 3 blocks, Daryl told me. Then there's a monthly challenge called Modern Obsessions. Every month, you're supposed to bring in a quilt or a quilt block of any size that explores one modern technique or category. Well, that sounds fun, I said, even though I wasn't sure that it did. I think the Modern Obsessions challenge is to get people like Kiki Sanders and Gloria Frost to start making modern quilts. What are they doing in a modern guild if they don't make modern quilts? They seem to think that if they make a quilt using solids or bright fabrics, it's automatically modern, Daryl said. That's a problem. For whom? For the people who are tired of seeing disappearing 9 patches month after month. Is that not a modern quilt? I asked. It's always felt modern to me. Daryl thought about this for a second. I think it falls more into the category of modern traditional, but not in a modern quilting guild way. Just in a happy color palette kind of way. Yeah, I can see that, I said, as I headed for the doorway, eager to get started on my Ohio Star block. There's a pretty big contingent of happy palette quilters in the Peacemakers. In fact, most of our younger members lean that way. They love their K-Facet and Tula Pink. Well, who doesn't? Daryl asked as I headed down the hall. I spent the rest of the afternoon making Ohio Star blocks, trying different variations of solids and prints, texting photos to Sheila for feedback. You ought to set up a sewing spot here in the store, she texted at one point. You could be our quilter in residence. I think she was kidding, but it's an interesting idea. Not that I'd want to do all of my sewing at Thimble Pleasures. For one thing, there aren't enough snacks in the break room. I'm sorry to report that Sheila is trying to lose weight, having gained 4 pounds over Christmas. The thing is, she gains 4 pounds over Christmas every year, and every year the pounds come off by mid-February. But now Sheila has a boyfriend, and she can't bear the thought of those pounds hanging around for a second longer than necessary. Really, it's like high school all over again. The thing is, you can tell by the way that Tom Grangerfield looks at her that he's crazy about Sheila exactly the way she is. Who wouldn't be? Anyway, I like sewing at home, but it might be nice to sew over at Thimble Pleasures one day a week. The quilter in residence is a great idea in general. I know I love watching people sew. Lately, I've been watching quilting videos on YouTube. I find there's something very calming about the hum of someone else's sewing machine. My favorite channel is The Last Homely House East of the Sea, which is hosted by a woman in the north of England named Kate. Kate quilts and spins and gardens, and she's building a cabin on her property. Her personality is the perfect balance of cozy, creative, and real. She chats away about this and that, and it's never like she's trying to be my best friend. But it does feel like we're friends. Kate is my ideal English woman, sensible and down to earth. If Rosamund Pilcher were still around, she'd put Kate in one of her novels. I could see people coming into Thimble Pleasures for a little fabric shopping and then being drawn by the sound of a humming Bernina. I could be like Kate of The Last Homely House, sewing away and saying sensible, interesting things. Maybe sometimes I could put on a fake British accent. No, that would be silly, right? I shouldn't do that. Well, I'm just going on and on and on, but I'm excited about things. I'm excited about this new year and the Sew Social Bee and really getting back into quilting. I'm excited about the first Quilt Museum Planning Committee meeting next week. I'm excited about going to QuiltCon in North Carolina in February, even though it's a long drive, nearly 8 hours. This year is feeling fresh to me, dear diary. Big things are going to happen. Big things. January 10th. Last night, a huge storm blew through and a tree fell on Daryl's car. Big things are happening indeed. January 11th. Today, Daryl and I bundled up and spent the morning picking up sticks and branches from the yard. As we worked, we discussed our New Year's resolutions. Resolution number one for both of us: keep our cars parked in the garage. Which is too bad, Daryl said as we lugged a load of debris to where we keep our firewood in the backyard. Because I've been seriously thinking about buying a long arm machine. And putting it in the garage? Daryl nodded. It's a good sized garage, and I never park in it, at least not until now. I thought I'd turn one half of it into a studio space, put up a partition and some insulation. But if I'm going to actually use the garage as a garage, that plan won't work. He paused and looked around the yard. I suppose I could build a studio out here. I don't know. What do you think, Marn? I wasn't sure what I thought. On the one hand, long arm machines are expensive. On the other hand, so is paying someone to long arm your quilt for you. On the third hand, if we built a studio out back, where would I plant my garlic, should I ever decide to plant garlic? Where would I put my amazing flower bed filled with peonies and dahlias? A flower bed I'd been dreaming of planting for decades now, never getting beyond the flipping through the garden catalog stage, but still, it could happen. If you think it's a bad idea, Daryl's voice trailed off. I could tell he wanted to do this. You won't abandon me, will you? I asked, giving him a sideways hug. You won't add on a kitchen and a sleeping nook so that you never have to come back into the house, right? I promise to always come home for dinner, Daryl said, returning my hug. Unless dinner involves kale. Then I'm staying in the studio and ordering a pizza. Do I really think that the studio is a great idea? I'm not sure. Yes and no. It's good for Daryl to have a big project, and building a studio and learning how to long-arm quilts are two big projects. Two big, expensive projects. But until he started quilting, Daryl hardly ever spent money on himself. We both have saving accounts for our special expenses, and I'm not sure Daryl ever touched his before last year. So what's not good about it? I guess I'm afraid I'll feel a little lonely. I've gotten used to Daryl being around most of the time. Of course, it's not like either of us spent the last year just sitting around the house. We've been busy. Besides, he'll just be out back. He'll be there when I need him, just like always.
Thank you so much for listening to Diary of a Mad Quilter and for being a Story Guild subscriber. Keep tuning in for more quilt fiction and more quilty fun.